Now let us turn to our Bibles. According to our text in Matthew 15:29-39. And the title of my message is Ministry of Relieving the Pain of Suffering. Our text is found in Matthew 15:29-39. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went he into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered. When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And they took the seven loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks and broke them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. And they sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word. In these two passages, we see Jesus healing and Jesus feeding the hungry. But if you look through the whole 4 Gospels, you'll find that Jesus only fed the multitudes 2 times, but in the matter of healing, 20 times. Whether it be a multitude or just one single person. The Lord would not feed the multitudes more than 2 times, and it is attested by the record that is given in John chapter 6 about after feeding the 5,000. You recollect that the next morning, when those of the 5,000 fed saw Jesus, they were very quick to say, sir, sir, hello, because they wanted to have another free meal. But Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Jesus did not want to make them rice Christians. And that is a name given to those in China. And they came to serve the Lord, but on the terms that they were fed. Many people came to serve the missionaries because they were paid. And many Christians came because they had advantage of material things. Jesus did not want to make them rise Christians. Nor did Jesus want any popularity, because when he fed the 5,000, the people were so happy, they would want to come and make him king. This is all stated in the passage. So Jesus refused them, because his is a spiritual kingdom and not a political and material kingdom. And it was because of this that his very close disciple and very high in the apostolic college, Judas Iscariot, turned away from him. It was at this point Jesus said, "Have I not chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil?" Because he disagreed with our Lord Jesus. He had personal ambition that he might become prime minister and Jesus the king. So Jesus turned them all away. There are only two feedings: the feeding of the 5,000, and this time the feeding of the 4,000. Following the example of our Lord, we have been helping Cambodia to materially by sending them a total of 10 containers filled with sardines, very good food, biscuits, and clothing. But after the 10th container, we stopped short at that, and we sent them no more. But I must, at the same time, give encouragement to that group, our Bukit Batok NBC. They totally paid for the 10th container. But the happy thing is that we so timed the container to arrive in Cambodia on the eve of Christmas. On Christmas Eve, the container was opened, and all those who were fed in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was one good point that we received. So thank God for all of you. I thank God for members of Life Church that you are always quick to respond when there is a need, so we no more feed them like the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the matter of relieving suffering, as we see our Lord 20 times healing the multitudes, as well as single persons, like the one that they carried up to the roof, and the poor man paralyzed was let down from the roof. And Jesus saw not only the faith of the patient, but also the faith of the four persons who brought them. Jesus was greatly touched, and he healed the paralyzed man, commanding him to rise up and walk and take his bed or his bedding. So it is wonderful for lifers also that wherever there is an opportunity to relieve suffering. But I have added today in my topic, revealing the pain of suffering. After I have got sick with the slip disc, and for so many months, it pained me. Now I can understand the suffering people, not merely the suffering, but the pain of suffering that we can relieve. Not only going to Cambodia once or twice, our people are going there, doctors, dentists, nurses, on the 1st of December this year, very near. And I believe this is the third time. Why did Jesus heal 20 times, as recorded in the four Gospels? Because his compassionate heart was touched by the pain of the suffering of the people. Now, why do we get sick? Do you know? We all get sick, and sickness finally leads to death, because Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. If they had not sinned, we would not die. We would not get sick. But please do not blame them. If you or I were tested in the garden, I think we would have fallen all the same. So his sin has embroiled us into this pain of suffering. But it is the way of God, also in a matter of relieving the pain of suffering by healing the body, to lead us to the healing of our soul. So I would like to say to lifers who are sick, and you are on the weekly list, and the church prays for you, while you are in the pain of suffering, do not lose heart, but keep looking to Jesus, for he is ever more merciful. However it is his will to heal or not to heal, we must submit to his holy will. But the method of healing their body in order to bring them to the healing of their soul is most wonderfully illustrated by the man born blind, who had his eyes opened by being told to go to the pool of Siloam. After he washed, he saw, and he praised the Lord wherever he went. And when Jesus found him and revealed to him that it was he who opened his eyes, and it was he who had saved him, the man born blind, now with open eyes, fell on his knees and worshipped him and said, "Jesus, now I believe." And he was saved. He not only received Christ as a Savior, but he went everywhere praising the Lord and argued with Jesus' enemies, the Pharisees. These high churchmen would not believe the miracle that Jesus had done. They went against their conscience. That's why Jesus said that they will not be forgiven their sins in this world and in the next world, because they blasphemed the Holy Spirit by speaking against their conscience. Three times the Pharisees tried to undo Jesus' miracle. And one person that they resisted was this man born blind himself. And he said, "I don't know. You said that Jesus is a sinner because he healed on the Sabbath day. But I say that he is the one who opened my eyes, that's all. And finally, of course, he came to know that Jesus is God and the very Son of God. We thank God that when you are saved, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you defend him, you exalt him, and you bring others even to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this time, you know that I went to Africa in September in order to open the clinic built by Life Church. And when I went there, I met Dr. Patrick Tan, pastor of New Life Church, who is the founder of this Maasai mission. He started the school, but we come in to start the clinic. A Maasai man who was so burdened with pain, with an arm doubly swollen, came to seek a cure. One jab from the doctor's knife released 250 cc of pus and blood that gushed out. Immediately the pain was gone. And he was so glad that he told the clinic people, "I will give a goat for this healing." But that's where the great physician comes in. And they told him that it was not the doctor that healed you, but there's a greater doctor in the Lord Jesus Christ, a greater physician. The song we are going to sing after this. The greater physician. And he not only saved your body, but also saved your soul. Brother Yu Pong Sen, in his report on Africa, said that we are coming to save a lost civilization. The Maasai people, about 200,000 of them, who live in the southern part of Kenya, they are so primitive that they still carry spears around, and the government allows them specially, and with their long gowns and a lot of beads that they wear on their persons. Without God, without hope in the world, by the healing process, you are able to speak to them about the Lord. And in this way, I believe in the years to come, hundreds of these poor people, when they come for healing and they are healed, they will be attracted to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something about our ancestors. And they were no better than the Maasai people according to the description of the missionaries. I'm a Teochew. How many Teochews are here? And the English Presbyterian Mission also went to Hokkien, Xiamen, they say today, but Amoy in the old days. And when our ancestors had feuds, village against village, their victims that they killed in war, they would cut open their heart and boil it and eat in order to increase the courage in war. Are the Maasai people like this? I think we are worse than they. But God sent William Burns, the first missionary to Teochew, to Swatow, in the year 1856. And in no time, in 1863, they sent the first medical missionary. He started a clinic like us in Masalan. And as there were many doctors who felt called to the field, one by one began to arrive. And in no time, they opened a hospital. In 100 years, 48 doctors went to the field to work for the Lord. They have started the clinic, now the hospital, and became so popular that the 300 villages around Swatow send the sick to the hospital. One person who came was a very dignified man. He was a governor of three prefectures of Swatow. He was dying of dysentery. But a missionary doctor came to treat him, and in 2 days, he saw a turnaround. He left some more medicine with the governor, and they left. And in 1 week's time, the governor completely recovered by the science of Western medicine. 10 years after, it was noised to the governor that the English Presbyterian Mission Hospital needed a better site. Immediately, he gave them an airy site facing the sea. Can you think of it? One good turn deserves another. But it illustrates how the power of the gospel has come to help in the evangelization of our ancestors, living in heathen darkness and very sad and poor. The ministry of relieving the pain of suffering had worked mightily. And so, in 100 years, with 48 medical doctors in the field, you can calculate that those who were saved ran into the thousands. And God will prosper the same thing when we serve in a country that is a lost civilization. When our missionaries, our nurse especially, but we have greater need. I would like to give a testimony of our family in connection with the missionary medicine, in connection with the hospital that the mission had started. My father spent 5 years as a trainee in the hospital and graduated as a doctor. We migrated to Singapore in the year 1926, and my father settled in a rubber estate that he had bought in Senai, where there is the airport. And we lived there, earning a living from the rubber estate. But in no time, 1929 arrived, the year of the great slump. In those days, we did not have a more gentle word called depression or recession. We just said it was a slump. But the Great Depression came, and all the rubber estates were closed because the price of rubber hit rock bottom. It was a losing business. We had no means of livelihood. I still remember my father had to take loans from good friends. My mother was a woman of prayer and great faith. So she urged my father, "Why won't you go to Johor Bahru, to the director of medical services?" Of course, he would be an Ang Mo. "And I'll pray, we'll pray. But most wonderful, for a China graduate, even under the British, no one would ever get the license. But Dr. Fitzgerald, the director of medical services, was very impressed by what my father said. And I said, "All right, can you give two recipes for what sickness?" And my father, having a very strong hand, wrote the recipes and impressed him. And he gave a license to my father to practice in British Malaya, which is unheard of. In this way, my father was able to send his 8 children all to school and university, and I included. May I say that I'm here today as a pastor also because of the benefits we received from the English Presbyterian Medical Mission. So that's the story of how God has used the doctors to advance His gospel. Talking about missions today, the missionaries from the West are dwindling, but thank God, to take their place, the missionaries from the East have risen. Particularly missionaries from Korea. The latest figure I learned from Dr. Moon of the Korean Church here is that there are 12,000 Korean missionaries in 120 nations in the world. Thank God for the Koreans. Insofar as our church is concerned, we have 25 missionaries in the foreign fields. And that is just a start. Sending Chan Pui Ming to Maasai land is a big step forward. And how we saw the patients who came there needing help, many with sores, but she can only wash them and bandage them. She cannot use a knife as a doctor. And so now there is an appeal coming to you. Is there any doctor in our church hearing the call, willing to go and serve in Maasai land? Well, I hear that Life Church Missionary Fellowship is planning a trip to Maasai land in April 03, next year. I would encourage such endeavor for several reasons. We are a big church, 1,600 at least. We have the people power. Our givings to the Lord are very spontaneous. We have money power. It's really wonderful that you have given not only to build a house, but you have given wherever there is a need to come into the gap. Thirdly, our Singapore dollar is still quite strong. We have not lost but only a fraction of our money power as compared with last time. In those days when you went to the Holy Land, the exchange was $1 to $1.43. Now we have shrunk to 1.76 or so, around that figure. But still, we have the power to support. Isaiah heard the call of the Lord. Who will go for us? And he immediately answered, "Yes, Lord, send me." And it went. I therefore would close this message with an appeal to any doctor in our midst. If the Lord will begin to speak to you today, I am very sure when you yield to the call, you will achieve great results. When we went to Africa this time, we stayed at the Bible College of East Africa. And Dr. Mark Kim, a graduate of this college, is a present principal. But he has brought in another Dr. Kim. So there are two Dr. Kims. And this doctor was very present there to help me when I caught a cold and I had stomach troubles. His Korean medicine worked even better than American medicine. I was cured immediately. So you can see how medical missions can be a very effective instrument for the extension of the gospel. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that the Lord has set us the example of attending to the sick to relieve the pain of the suffering in 20 instances in the four Gospels, but in the feeding only 2 times. As our church has followed Thee step by step, we come to the time when we have entered into medical missions. I pray Thee, O Lord, to speak to see to some person, young or old, or middle age, to answer the call, especially of the clinic, our clinic in Masailand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.